Greetings, First Baptist Faith family. Thank you so much for joining us for another church investment update. We want to welcome you to this time. This is our midweek sermon recap, announcements and conversations concerning the happening of our world and how to approach them from a biblical perspective. Our hope is to come to you on a weekly basis to provide opportunities, resources, and information that will help you better invest in the local church. Here at FBC, we value healthy churches, and thus that is one of our core values, church investment. More can be discovered at our website, fbcjonesboro.net. I'm Trey Etheridge.
I'm Brian McAllister.
And thank you for joining us for this update. Well, brother, it's good to be back with you.
It is.
We've been off a week, and there was a reason for that. You are one less body part.
I am.
For lack of a better term.
Gallbladder is out, but everything is good. Doctor said that I can begin most normal activities. So, but yeah, feeling good, other than just some soreness. But
yeah. Praise the Lord for that. Everything went good. That's been something that's had bothered you for a while.
Yes.
And so those are always good things to remove. Just an element of sin. One more element of sin that we remove from our body.
Yeah, one more defective body part.
Well, before we get into the sermon, though, we can't move past the experience that we had this past Sunday night.
Yes.
With our quarterly business meeting, our evening of praise, and our fellowship supper. First time in a long time.
Yes. I think I missed the last quarterly business meeting. I think we were on vacation back in the spring.
Yeah, in April. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we missed that. So it was good. To be able to come and talk to the church about what's going on. I think there's a lot of good things. You know, we've never had a bad business meeting since I've been here at FBC. And I know business meetings, you think they're not fun. And maybe not, but it is an update. It is kind of letting everybody know where we are. And I think things were good. I think some people were even surprised how well we're doing financially and stuff like that, and kind of reminding people of what were some steps we're going to be taking in the future, like with our deacons and the hope of trying to hire somebody on as a family minister over our youth and children.
Yeah. It was a great time, wonderful time of singing, fellowship, and just the members getting to gather together and come together for the business of the church. So we praise God for that. Well, Sunday morning, you spoke of the, speaking of supper, you spoke of the Lord's Supper. You preach from 1 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 23, actually finishing out that chapter. And talk to us just a little bit about the Lord's Supper. You had three different points there: purpose, profaning, and practice. What was your overall takeaway? What was your overall hope for that?
Well, the overall hope was, I think it was really to kind of stick with what Paul was trying to do, what Paul's hope was, which was to remind them of the importance of the Lord's Supper, why they take the Lord's Supper. In all honesty, and I think you know this, that we could actually spend weeks on this.
Oh, my word, yes.
And not just talking just through the text, but even talking through some of the errors that have come out throughout history on the Lord's Supper. I tried to hit some of that this past Wednesday night, things. But really, I think for me, the overall hope was to refresh our mind about what the Lord's Supper is, and to rekindle our hearts that when we take the Lord's Supper the next time, that we're taking it with the purpose of refocusing our mind on Christ and the purpose of recalling the sacrifice that Jesus paid, and it being a special time of taking it and not just going through the motions.
Yeah. And Ted, one of the points you brought out, which I thought was great, is that the Lord's Supper points us to the sole purpose of why we do not just what we do, but all of what we do.
Yes.
That it's not just about the Lord's Supper. It's not just pointing us to the Lord's Supper and why we take it and things, but all aspects of the purpose and purposes of the church: worship, discipleship, evangelism, ministry.
Yes. And I think we tend to do that. Sometimes we want to look at everything of the church individually. We may look at worship and evangelism and not see the connection that the two have together, or even fellowship. And I think we do that with some of our activities and our practices, but even with the Lord's Supper, it's just that thing you do it at, you know, every quarter and you tack it on. But really, for something, and this is what I thought was interesting in my study, and I never really thought about it, you know, Jesus reveals to Paul, he comes to Paul himself. So Paul's not just getting this from the apostles or anything. Jesus makes a point to have to reveal himself to Paul again, that we see this in Galatians, and begin to share with Paul not only the gospel, but there's this thing called the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
And I need you to make sure that the churches are doing this. And so twice now we see, you know, in the gospels and then now with Paul, that Jesus makes this important.
It's not a one-time emphasis.
It's not, no.
It's something you do every now and then. No.
This is something that we do on a regular basis that really helps us refocus all that we're doing to remind us why we do anything, worship, fellowship, evangelism, discipleship. And it is about the recalling of the sacrifice of our Lord and the price that he paid and our becoming adopted as sons and daughters and being brought to the table. It's just a humbling thing.
Well, as we discussed last night in prayer, that righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, and we partake of that, and we see that.
And you brought up last night that it is also a means of grace.
Yeah.
So not only does it just refocus us on all that we do, it strengthens all that we do. Mm-hmm. So how is my worship strengthened? How is my fellowship strengthened? How is my discipleship strengthened? And so we do kind of find ourselves kind of getting a little mundane in other areas and weak. And the Lord's Supper is a time of rekindling our strength. It is a means of grace and of Jesus refreshing us that we may then go and worship.
Yeah.
That when we get up from the table, then we get about the Lord's business.
And you brought an interesting word there in terms of worship, that when we do partake of the Lord's Supper, it is part of our act of corporate worship together. I think, of course, that's why Paul brings out that we can we can actually profane and mock the work of the Lord, the name of the Lord himself, Jesus himself, when we take it wrongly. Now, and of course, he brings this out earlier in the passage of talking about how they came to the table, there was drunkenness, the poor were neglected, they were not fed. And I think that's interesting because when we first look at that, it's very easy to say, oh, well, we would never do that in the context of corporate worship. Yeah. We're not going to put up with drunkenness in any way, shape, matter, or form. Mm-hmm. We're not going to not feed the hungry in any way, shape, matter, or form. But yet, this text still applies. It has to still apply. So what do you think are some dangers we face today in terms of profaning the table,
well,
lack of examination?
So go with the, let's just go with the poor. First let me start with this. One of the things that Jesus teaches us, and we see this in the Sermon on the Mount, is that sin always starts within the heart. There is a ditch on both sides of the road. You can say, I've never gotten drunk at the Lord's Supper. I have never not fed the poor and allowed them to eat at the Lord's Supper. But what we know from Scripture, in the context of all the Scripture, Jesus says there is sin within the heart, and God holds that against us. And so we may not come to the Lord's Supper drunk, but we can come to the Lord's Supper with a careless attitude.
Mm.
We can come to the Lord's Supper in a way that is, you know, with contempt, that is certainly just ill-focused, I would say. And that's what drunkenness is. You've lost focus. You really are just not in control, and you're not thinking on, you know, rightly. The issue of the poor, you know, there was a division there, the rich and the poor. We can come to the Lord's Supper and still have division. It may be that we are angry at other brothers and sisters. It may be that we just don't have a love for them. It's not that we're not angry, but we don't have a love for them. It may be that we're not caring for the widows. And so we have, or children. We could have all sorts of things, or people who have needs that may not be poverty, but physical needs or whatever, emotional needs, financial needs, and we come to the Lord's Supper without a love for them, or even worse, a bitterness and contempt for them. So it may show itself in different ways, but it all comes from the same place, and that does come from the heart.
Yeah, and it goes back to that it is part of the corporate worship gathering. It's part of what we do, just like the preaching of the word, the praying of the word, the singing of the word, all of those things come into play along with this. It's interesting. I can remember growing up, I think sometimes we lose sight of this, and it just, you know, I know I grew up, and I don't think it was any ill intent on the part of the church or just communication. I just think it was one of those things that just kind of gets lost in the weeds. And so why do you take the Lord's Supper? Well, it's just something we do.
Something you do.
It's something we do. And in fact, as a kid, I can remember going, oh, tonight's the Lord's Supper. The preacher's not going to preach as long as he did.
Yes.
You know, and so, of course, that needed correction in and of itself. But yet it was true. The preacher did not preach as long, and sometimes he didn't even preach, which shouldn't take place.
And even I, starting out in the ministry, would do that.
Right.
I'd be like, we're taking the Lord's Supper. I have a night off.
Yeah.
Because that's what I grew up with. Yeah. That's what I grew up watching and grew up seeing. And I'll even, and we'll even get into this in a minute. I know some notes we've taken on some else here. But, you know, in this issue of profaning, another way that we could do this is that we, in that same mindset that we have a wrong view of it, and so the preacher's not preaching, you know, and that type of thing. Yeah. We also then look at it and go the other way. It's not a night off. It's a night that we need to spice up. It's a night that we need to do something to make this better. We need to add to this.
Almost a feast approach.
Which is, yeah, goes back to the verses leading up to this. We need to do this. We need to make this a little more peppy that people will come. And you know, the more people we get to the Lord's table, you know, and the more people that show up, and so then we add to the Lord's Supper, or we twist it in such a way that it dishonors the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Well, and that moves us right into the practice of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, does form matter? And you spent some time on this Wednesday night. We talked about how the elements themselves, the bread and the cup, that this is not a matter of where they turn into, they become the body and blood of Christ. No, we don't believe that. There is a matter of real presence, where God's presence is there, but not actually in the elements themselves. So if that's the case, if they're not spiritual, if they don't become spiritual, if you don't have the in hoc est, so to speak, from, you know, and there's a change in them, Why does the form matter? I mean, why can't we have Kool-Aid and Oreos like I saw one church doing several years ago?
As I saw one church doing Skittles.
Why does form matter in that?
Well, and I'll just go right back to what you said. Though the elements themselves are not spiritual, it doesn't mean the taking of the Lord itself is not spiritual. That there is not a spiritual presence of Christ. The Spirit is in us, and I think we need to recognize that and bring honor to Him on that. You know, and so as you're, you know, asking me this question, does form matter? I mean, my response would be, does the Word of God matter?
Amen.
If Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," and He gives me two specific things to be a picture, who am I to say, well, let's just change that into Oreos and Kool-Aid. Let's change that into Skittles.
Yeah.
Or let's make it about remembering something else. Because I know with some of the social justice that we've talked about, I've seen they have videos of churches who have done Lord's Supper in remembrance of, you know, certain people who have died or whatever, you know, and it becomes about the person.
Unjustly killed. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think it comes down to, does it matter? Do the commands and the words of the King of Kings matter?
Mm.
If they don't matter, then form doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. But if He is King of Kings and it does matter, then I need to do as He says.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't matter, then does any of the Bible really matter? Does any of the other commands, does any of the other words really matter? And so I think form matters. I think one, because it is His word. He is very specific on what to do. Jesus took very care, as we said. It said earlier, he revealed Himself to Paul. He did it with the apostles on how to do this. He took great care in giving us this instruction. And then I would even go even further and say, not only that, He gave us clear signs, clear symbolism that points to His death. Skittles do not point to Jesus.
Right.
You know, and two, they didn't have Skittles.
They didn't have Oreos.
Yeah.
You know, at the Last Supper or in Paul's day. And so bread and wine is something that stretches across from the beginning to the end of time.
Yeah.
That we're going to have the, you know, you have the grapes and the juice, you have the bread, the nourishment of the body. These have always been things that mankind has taken into his physical body to nourish him. And so that goes back to this not only connects me to my faith family, this connects me to the overall family of the church. So form, most definitely, I think form matters.
And it moves us into, and this is definitely for another time, but the regulative versus normative principle of worship. Are we going to stick with simply what God prescribes?
Yep.
Are we going to stick with his prescribed order in the scriptures? Or are we going to take the approach of, well, if it's not mentioned, it's free game.
It's free game.
And I know,
Jesus, let me help you out.
Right.
Because you didn't think of this.
Let me make this better.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord, you didn't think of this. So let me do this. Let me help you out, Jesus.
Well, the last thing on this, frequency. As often as you drink it, it comes up often.
He does.
Why should we, you argued on Sunday morning that we should begin the process of looking at partaking of the Lord's Supper more often. Let me, being here, push back on you for that, because we're used to quarterly and things of that nature. But wouldn't it be like other things of that the more that we do it, that it may become mundane? You run that risk?
I do think you can run the risk. But I think already, though, I think this is where the discipline of the saints comes in play, the discipleship of the saints, of we already run that risk already with everything else we do.
Exactly.
Preaching, yeah. Worship, and we have to be, and here's the thing, as we go back to earlier, the Lord's Supper becomes the thing that reminds us why we do those things. So if the thing that's supposed to help us not make everything else mundane is not being done enough, right. You know, but I would even say this, I think you have a ditch on the other side, where if you do it, you know, where people say you do it too much, it becomes mundane. If you don't do it enough, it becomes forgotten.
Amen.
And so it becomes forgotten. You know, so this is just something that, especially this past week of dealing with this study, and I shared last night, you know, my own struggles this past week and how the Lord just in my own frustration as a pastor at times, and how the Lord just really kind of convicted me on some things. I do think, you know, you can do this more, maybe like a once a month kind of deal, that it does refocus us and rekindle us as a church.
Yeah, definitely something to look forward to, especially when you begin to truly understand its purpose, mm-hmm. and what it is about. It's not just this mere memorial thing that we do on occasion, mm-hmm. like we would do something else. No, much more involvement of fellowship and feast worship, things of that nature. That's good stuff, brother. Let's move on here. We've got a few announcements, things we want to talk about. Feel free to add in to any of these things. This coming or Monday, a week from Monday, August the 2nd, our association is having a ministry leadership training conference. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to this. Brother Craig has put this together for the churches in the association. I think it's a great idea. I think it's something that hopefully he's going to replicate in the future of providing training for the areas of ministry within the local church to be able to improve those things. So we've got training for pastors, training for deacons, training in the area of music and worship, training church clerk area.
Youth and children.
Youth and children, all of these different areas. So it's going to be the inauguration, so to speak, of this conference. And so if you can be a part of that, it's open, I believe, to everyone involved.
I do believe Craig wants as many to come as possible.
If nothing else, to see what it is that is happening.
And this goes back to the core value of fellowshipping with the saints. And, you know, it takes our faith family and it connects our faith family with the other local families, faith families in our association.
Yes, yes, which is our desire, mm-hmm. And something we've longed to do, because just like every Wednesday night, we're praying for those churches in our association without pastors, and God has been faithful and good to answer those calls. Mm-hmm. We've watched those churches' names just tick off from almost 18, and now we're down to
I think it was eight
somewhere in that. So we praise God for that. But anyway, Monday, August the 2nd, 6 o'clock at East Winfield Baptist Church for the Ministry Leadership Training Conference. Come be a part of that. I think he's going to feed everybody from about 6 to 6:30 or 6:15, brief introductions of different things, and then we'll break off into our perspective areas of ministry. State of the Church Address, brother. It's coming. I'm excited about it. September the 12th. Tell us a little bit about.
Well, and it was either yesterday morning or this morning. I think I may have kind of been thinking through what text I'm going to use and all that. But very excited. The State of the Church Address is that time where I get to just kind of to give, I don't want to just say like a speech or anything. It's a little different than just a sermon. But we do come from the Word. We do look at the Word. We do allow the Word to guide our thoughts and to guide our thoughts and process on this. But to address the church on how well First Baptist is doing, the things that are good, the things that we should praise over the last year. And I think there's a lot of things that we should be praising for, but also the things that we're looking forward to. And so kind of going back to what the Lord's up, we want to just basically kind of bring the church together to have the same mindset, the same purpose, you know, of what this upcoming year is about. And so it really helps us with unity and going in the same direction.
Amen. Amen. The next week after the State of the Church Address, FBC Loves Jonesboro Day.
Yes.
I'm excited about this. I'm looking forward to it. Family team and mission team have collaborated together on this. And so if you were in your Sunday school class this past week, hopefully you were, but hopefully your teacher pointed this out, gave you some more information about it. But we're seeking to love on Jonesboro, to reach out to the people within our community, our Jerusalem, with just ministry, tasks, service, whatever it is that you can think of that may be done to help benefit the people of Jonesboro on this day. Right now, we're trying to get a list of tasks.
Yeah, and nothing's too small on these tasks.
Exactly. Yeah. It could be something as simple as changing a light bulb for somebody, going and washing dishes for something. I mean, just any aspect of service that we can do to let our community know that First Baptist Church is here, we care about them, and we are seeking to begin the process of outreach to them. And we're not going away.
I think what else this is good is that I know just from talking within the community, there does seem to be a push within our own community to better our community.
Yes.
To work to clean up our community, to have a little bit of community pride. And so FBC is walking with that and not separating itself. And so I think that not only is it a gospel witness, but I do think it is a love for community and people.
Amen. Last thing, and didn't even have this down, but we need revival.
Okay, yes, I had that down.
Yeah, revival coming up October the 24th through the 27th. Let me side note real quick. Talking with our local church, talking with FBC right now, please put these dates down in your calendar. Please make them a part. That's what one of the purposes of this these are ways you can invest in your local church. And so this is definitely one of them, revival October 24th through 27th. Brother Ed Lacey.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I haven't talked with him. It's been a week or two since I talked to him. We'll be getting together pretty soon. He's just already in prayer. We're already talking about the needs of our church, how he can help and address the church. From what I've heard, it's one of those things, bring your seatbelt and buckle up kind of things. Ed is very much an evangelist, but he's very much a man who carries the weight of accuracy of the scriptures.
And teacher
of
the Word of God.
You know, it's not going to be just a bunch of stories. It's going to be the preaching of the Word, and you're going to have that just several days in a row. And I think it's going to be refreshing. I would also say, begin praying for, begin thinking about, an individual that you could bring to the revival, someone that you've been working on, someone that we've been praying for, having them there, and that they can hear the gospel, and this may be a wonderful opportunity. The only other thing that I added was Crafty Cafe on the 11th.
Yes, Crafty September Cafe. The 11th.
Yeah. This is another opportunity to be a part of the association, and I know people even from Wynn Parish come. But certainly, what an honor that we get to do this for our association, and it gets to happen here in Jonesboro, and so many people come in, and our ladies, and I guess there's probably some guys that are involved in this, but I know our ladies always, they just do a really good job.
Yeah, it's a big project. It starts that Thursday and goes all the way into the late hour Saturday evening. Yep. So praise God for that. One last thing, and want to speak to our faith family for just a minute specifically. In regards to, and you may have already heard this from your Sunday school teacher, regarding a Sunday school change in our curriculum. As you know, determined discipleship is a core value here at First Baptist. And so what does that mean? Is that we believe all members should be growing into a mature relationship with Jesus Christ. And certainly that includes being able to properly study and interpret the scriptures for oneself. This is one thing that you always hear me say it. My job is to try to work myself out of a job in terms of teaching others to teach themselves, but also to be able to teach others. See that in Titus 2, 2 Timothy 2, I'm sorry. But anyway, but when the Gospel Project came out, which is the curriculum we use now, I loved it. I loved when the Gospel Project came out. Finally, from Lifeway, we had a quarterly curriculum that fulfilled this purpose. Now, this has been several years ago, probably, I think it was 2012 when it first came out. However, and you and I have, I've shared this concern with you for the past couple of years. I've been seeing, and it pains me to say this, that the Gospel Project has seemed to waver from that original intent. And I think there's several reasons behind it, primarily probably the continued long-term trajectory of not just Lifeway, but the Southern Baptist Convention toward a pragmatic approach to ministry. And, you know, what do I mean by that? In other words, that the ends justify the means. We saw this firsthand, Brother Brian and I both did. This was evident with Resolution 1 back at the Southern Baptist Convention in June, which read this, that we will not permit our personal, social, theological, or political interests to supersede the urgency of evangelism and distract us from the task of the gospel's advancement through the whole world. Yeah. That was disappointing. And of course, we've talked about that. There was an attempt for an amendment to be made solely because of that word theological there. Listen to that for just one moment. That we will not permit our, and I'm going to leave out all the other words, our theological interest to supersede the urgency of evangelism and distract us.
You know what that means? That means you can have Skittles at the Lord's Supper.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we got to think about that for a minute. Our theology is why we do, and it's what governs our evangelism. It's
scary.
Why we do what we do. And so that was very frustrating on that part. But when we use that term pragmatism, that's one of the things that we mean. So anyway, over the past 6 months, and you know this, I've been searching for curriculum. And finally this fall, we're going to transition to a curriculum. It is a quarterly curriculum. It's called the Baptist Expositor. I'll be sharing about this a little bit more detail in the coming weeks. You can go and check out their website at baptistpublishinghouse.com, baptistpublishinghouse.com, and see mainly that their intent is true biblical fidelity. I'm confident with the curriculum that they put out. Mm-hmm. I'm confident with their statement of faith. And what does that mean? That they teach the whole counsel of the Word. And what we will see is that this is a curriculum, and no curriculum is perfect, but this is a curriculum with the intent to teach one how to properly study and interpret the Bible for oneself.
To make determined disciples
that can make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be sharing more about that. Your teacher will be sharing some more about that, but that's coming in the fall. So be in prayer for that transition there.
Good stuff.
Well, brother, is there anything else we got? Anything else going on?
I am good, man. Just look forward to Sunday, and we will be in chapter 12. We won't get very far, but we are going to be moving into spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to, you know, that just seems to be a very anticipated section of the letter of 1 Corinthians.
Yeah. So chapter 12 is coming. So we hope to see you this Lord's Day. Take care. Have a great rest of the week, and God bless.